This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We want to get one more check on the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature and some perspective about what took place. First District State Representative Court Boyce represents the Southwest Oregon area, including parts of Douglas County and Coos Curry County as well. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle. Thank you for having me on. I'm talking to you from my Gold Beach office, which is a disaster. So I'm digging out after 2.5 months in Salem. Gorgeous spring day here.
Well, now that the session has been over for a while, sort of give your take overall on what took place.
You know, we did our best on the Senate Bill 1599 to keep that on the November ballot. We even filed two lawsuits. We had all kinds of debates on both the House and the Senate floors. And, you know, we just like the September special sessions, we just couldn't convince our colleagues on the other side of the aisle that, you know, you're disrespecting, disregarding the will of the people, 250,000 signatures. Of course, that was the absolute biggest issue and challenge we had. The second, Kyle, probably would be Senate Bill 1507. That basically disconnects us from the federal government on taxes. And so it's the majority party, the liberals in the Oregon legislature, they've used that to gain another $330 million by doing that disconnect. And we were just really heartbroken on that one to try and stop that, and it also hurts farmers and ranchers. And so we will get a chance to vote on the 1599 in May, and no new taxes. It's just that simple. Our state is on the decline, and we've got to regroup and bring back a strong economy. And that starts right there in Douglas County, in my view.
So if moving the gas tax referendum hadn't been such the big issue, how much more could have gotten done in that short session?
Well, being in the supermajority, you know, on the House side, we're down 37 to 23 members, and we protected the kicker. We were very successful in that, grateful for that. We brought $53 million back to Senate District 1, Brock Smith, Virgil Osborne, Alex Scalados. So we're very happy about that. We worked extremely hard to get House Bill 4075, which brings $44 million to the Bay Area Hospital, Coos Bay North Bend. And then kind of in addition to that, we're really doing our best to position ourselves for all of our rural hospitals, Kyle. The federal government, the Trump administration, has set aside $52 billion and $197 million goes to the rural hospitals in Oregon. So we're excited about that. We just have to be on our toes and make sure we don't, that money doesn't go to a black hole in the Oregon Health Authority. So yeah, we had some really good things happen. And, we would like to be controlled. We'd like the opportunity to govern for a couple of years and really build the economy of Oregon back and bring back strong public safety, do away with everything we possibly can on sanctuary cities to protect criminals, that ignore the heartbreaks of the victims of crime. And so, yeah, we're as geared up and as energized as ever.
So if we go back to the gas tax referendum for a moment, if that passes, the gas tax, et cetera, is repealed, do you see maybe a special session coming to deal with some of the ODOT issues?
You know, that's a really good question, because the other side is so determined and have pulled every shenanigan that they possibly can to avoid holding ODOT accountable. Kyle, it's the diversity, equity, inclusion concept. It's a green energy thing that wastes a ton of money. And, you know, we've just stiff-armed that approach, you know, clear back in April, almost a year ago, in the full session. We had a program that was $720 million, you might recall, in savings that would have not put one ODOT worker out of a job. It was just basically, you know, repeating the common sense approach, which is go back to core responsibilities of ODOT. And, you know, we're not going to be able to fund the I-5 bridge. That's just getting to be billions and billions more. Washington's even backing down on their portion of it. So, yeah, thanks for bringing up ODOT. We think we still have a chance for common sense if it is repealed in May. And that's our hope to protect the taxpayers. Then we're going to resist the expensive special sessions, but we're just going to keep beating the drum that the common sense logical approach is to bring ODOT to just really, really proven that they can regroup and be responsible for every single dollar. The answer is not raising taxes or raising fees.
Now, things that you're particularly unhappy about from the session, besides the whole gas tax situation?
You know, there was two bills, Kyle, that were just completely disrespectful of law enforcement. I spoke two Fridays ago at the Optimist Club in Roseburg, 50th anniversary, quite an honor. There's a couple hundred people there, and I've never been surrounded by so many wonderful professional public safety people. I think every Douglas County community was represented, almost everyone, with their police chief, and just a great honor. So 4114 was basically a bill to make it easier for Oregonians to sue law enforcement officers if they make the slightest mistake, or they can't wear masks, they got to have, you know, I've got my middle son is a captain with the Oregon State Police Drug Enforcement, and you know, they don't want their families expose their addresses because the state of Oregon has such a bone in their throat, for lack of a better term, against the federal government. I mean, our Attorney General Rayfield has filed almost 60 lawsuits now, and even if he's right on some of those, and I don't believe that that's the case. He's hardly won any of them. They're so expensive, and it just puts this giant Grand Canyon between us and the federal government, which has cost us $1 billion too. Even if the federal government's not right, they have the authority to just say, well, we're not going to fund your sanctuary cities and communities. It's just, there's no coming together to say, hey, let's solve these problems. And you see it at the national level, of course, as well.
As you went through the session, obviously fairly intense at times, are there some frayed relationships after the session?
You know, that would be a logical concern. But, you know, my parents were public servants, and they love people, and so that's in my DNA. And I not to try and sound benevolent here or something, but I'll walk 10 miles if they'll walk a mile, and so their doors are open, and my job is to convince them when they're, I almost said polling, but when they're promoting, a bad bill, bad policy, how it impacts my people that I represent in Coos Kerry and Douglas counties, you know, I'm going to be at your doorstep, and I'm going to battle you on this, but I can do it respectfully. It goes back to the stateswomen era of, Vic Atiyah. I used to take him upriver clear back in the 80s from Gold Beach, and Norma Paulus, Dave Frohnmeyer, Bev Clarno, my first cousin, who was Secretary of State. There's quite a list there that people, Republicans, conservatives, business people, pro-family people would do anything to get work done, and they would walk to the coast from Salem and back to prevail and do what was best for the citizens. And so that's who I grew up with, and as well as our team here on, you know, on the South Coast.
Do you feel like any or all the fighting during the session is going to have any impact on the primary election just based on public perception observing the session?
Another great question, Kyle. You know, is Oregon going to turn bluer or is it going to turn purple? We've got some great conservative, business-oriented governor candidates. You know, that is a major question. We see the policies that have been ingrained for 40 years that are really, I don't want to say destroying, but really damaging our quality of lives and the future of our kids and grandkids. It's our schools. It's, you know, rising crime. It's this constant division between rural and urban Oregon. It's wasteful spending. I think you've heard me say before, if I've learned anything in the four sessions that I've been there, you know, 3.5 years, there is no accountability for wasted dollars. And it's the old saying that, well, we passed that 2 years ago and it didn't work well. We must not spent enough. So we got to appropriate more money. And that's just bad business, and it's unacceptable, and it has to be called out nonstop so that we can save the taxpayers' efforts. We're losing valuable, productive people moving out of the state, as you well know.
In the last day or two, I know I didn't get into all the deep specifics of it, but information out from the governor's office and from Washington's governor regarding the bridge between Oregon and Washington, there along Interstate 5, you know, plans to rebuild it, now escalating in costs and all of that. Do you think that's ever going to happen, or should it happen, or should there be a whole other plan?
No, as I said a bit ago, I didn't say it very well, but I think it's dead. It should be dead. I'm going to battle that with everything I got. It's something we can't afford. It doesn't even increase the traffic. It makes bike lanes. You know, the Coast Guard is, you know, got some issues with the engineering plans. And as you well said there, the costs are escalating, and we simply don't have the money. Especially with businesses leaving, especially with the wasteful spending. I believe, and I've talked to Lars Larson on this and others that, you know, are really close to that project. It's just really impractical, and it cannot be justified, Kyle, in my view, and won't be.
Now, with the session done, what are some legislative things that you're working on now, or are you kind of taking a break from it?
You know, you always got a plan for the next session because we have basically unlimited bills, and some legislators do 50, 60, 70, and I don't find fault with that at all. You know, David Brock Smith, he's a legislative genius who, by the way, is running for the U.S. Senate, and I think he's got a chance. He's very effective. He's nobody outworks him. He can reach across the aisle and does quite consistently. He's down about 5% in the polls, but anyway, he promotes an unlimited number of bills, and his philosophy is if just a few of them stick that can help my district, then it's justified for the staff time to put those up for debate. So I'll probably have 25. As you know, in the short session we can only do two. And, you know, one of my first ones is protect law enforcement, you know, to reverse some of this discrimination that makes it harder for us to recruit law enforcement officials. And, man, they just deserve our great support. And another one is, you know, you can't go into a church and harass people. Is it already protected within U.S. Constitution? And, you know, I just want to come up with a bill, Kyle, that will remind people from the state perspective that, no, don't do that. You let those folks worship in whatever, it's a synagogue or mosque or, you know, Calvary Chapel, whatever. Don't barge in their door and harass their families be respectful and responsible. So, yeah, I've got a few bills that crew's lining up and talking with my associates and colleagues, and and looking forward to that. So, yeah, I got a little bit of a break going. But it's a full-time job. Plus, we've got a campaign at on the House side every 2 years. And I'm looking forward to that. I'll be in the Brookings, Gold Beach, Port Orford, Bandon, Coquille, Myrtle Point, Winston parades. And I love doing that. I hand out little 4x6 flags to the kids, American flags.
Now, looking at the midterm elections for Oregon, do you think, because nationally it's kind of traditional logic that the party out of power will do better in the midterms, could that have an impact on Oregon's midterm elections?
Well, it's no secret. I actually have a town hall with Monique Despain. This is her second run, Congressional District 4 candidate. We'll be talking on April 7th. So if people want to listen in or fire questions at us, coachcourt@gmail.com. And I think she's got a real chance. I've always liked her opponent, Val Hoyle, but goodness sakes, Congresswoman Hoyle was one of only 53 of 435 congressional reps that voted that Iran was not a terrorist organization. I mean, here they've killed hundreds of Americans in the last almost 50 years. And that's just shocking, but there's a lot of other reasons. Despain understands our timber issues, you know, our forest management, our fish recoveries. You know, her military background is, you know, career lifetime is beyond noteworthy. And she's just, we're just lucky to have her as a candidate. So to answer your question, the midterms, I think she's got a real chance, and I hope people will work hard for her. And one thing we know for sure, Val Hoyle is a millionaire since she's become a congressional rep, and Despain is not.
We are looking at the governor's election as well, and much like a few years ago, we've got lots of candidates, 24 by the filing deadline. I think we've got 14 Republicans, 10 Democrats. Obviously, a lot of those folks are unknown names that'll get hardly any votes, but for the serious candidates out there, how do you see the governor's race right now? The polling seems to really vary on it.
The polling is kind of hard to track. I agree. You know, I ran for governor in 2022 because of the fire thing. I tell people, don't be impressed. There was 19 candidates. I only spent $4,800, did finish in the top 10, and got some really good exposure on the fire. So on the Republican side, I'm a little disappointed in Phil Knight. Chris Dudley, great person. But that was 16 years ago that he came close. I'm good friends with Ed Deal, and I think he would be an outstanding governor. Bethel has got Marion County Commissioner. She's got a lot of expertise, but I've been solid for Drazen the whole time. She's our best shot to win. She's honest. She's truly a tremendous leader. I worked with her during that governor's campaign in 22, and then ever since then, through in the legislature, her tenure as House of Representatives and a senator. And I hate to see us spend a lot of resources to win that Republican primary. I wish Dudley and Drazen and Deal would have got together 6 months ago and drawn straws and just then get behind that candidate, and let's defeat Governor Kotak, some people call her, but not to be disrespectful. However, the Democrats and now the progressives, there's no such thing, Kyle, by the way, as a moderate Democrat anymore. It's just shocking to see. I get along with almost all of them in the 37 members in the House, but they're just getting more and more left-leaning, and you see the results really hurting our state when the rest of the country is really at least two-thirds of the rest of the country doing quite well. So I think Drazen's our best shot.
For the governor's race, one interesting element in the past couple of weeks is that at least two, maybe more, organizations have at this point said they are not going to endorse the governor. This came out of a couple more progressive organizations generally. What do you make of that?
That is, I think that's been a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people, the Oregon Education Association. You know, most of those people have families. They've got to, they realize that the three unions, the three biggest unions in the state run the every policy. And, you know, that's part of the reason businesses have left and unemployment is up and, you know, revenue is down. So maybe they're seeing the light. We can always hope, Kyle. My door's open to them. I've had meetings with them. You know, that's unusual for them not to automatically go for the liberal Democratic candidate. But, you know, if anybody can get to, get them at least to neutralize and change course, it would be Drazen, in my view.
Now, of course, even though those non-endorsements at this point, of course, that could always change, there's not anybody that I'm aware of on the Democratic side that poses any kind of serious threat to the governor in the primary.
Yeah, I'm not paying much attention to that, to be honest. I really don't care if she's going to automatically be the nominee. I probably should be a little more aware of that. I just know that after the primary, I'm going to be working 24/7 to get the first Republican conservative business-oriented governor in the last 43 years. Again, yeah, since Vicatilla.
All right, just about out of time for Inside Douglas County. What's on your schedule in the next couple of days?
I got to be in Brookings. My town halls are coming up on the 24th. I'll be on the 26th with Commissioner Tim Freeman, Douglas County, 24th Commissioner Lynn Coker, Gold Beach, Curry County. And, hey, my wife, I'll give a shout-out to my wife. She was a keynote speaker at the Pro-Life Gala in Coos Bay. There's almost 400 people there. They raised a lot of good funds for the Pregnancy Care Center. That girl is a great speaker. She's a hard worker and loves Oregon and just a key part of my team, Kyle.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again with State Representative Court Boy soon. Thanks for being on today.
All my best, Kyle. Thank you very much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.